So our scripture reading this morning, not as noted there in the order of service, comes from the book of Genesis. And in the creation story that we have in the first chapter of Genesis, you may recall that it begins with chaos and ends with Sabbath. You may also recall that in this story, God speaks the creation into being, each day bringing forth yet another dimension of creation. And each day's work concludes with, "And God saw that it was good." Today we're going to hear just the two excerpts from that story that speak of food, this being the focus of our gathering this morning in light of World Food Day. And so let us listen for what the Spirit is saying to the church.
As Karen said, these are readings taken from the book of Genesis in chapter 1. And God said, "Let the waters under the sky be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth put forth vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees of every kind on earth that bear fruit with the seed in it." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed of every kind, and trees of every kind bearing fruit with the seed in it. And God saw that this was good. And there was evening, and then there was morning, the third day. And then we move on to following the creation of birds, animals, sea creatures. We get to the sixth day with the creation of humankind, after which the story continues like this. God said, "See, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have this for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw everything that God had made, and indeed it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning of the sixth day. God's word is life.
In the opening chapter of his book, Food and Faith, Norman Wirzba reminds us we can never only bite into one thing. He then goes on to unpack that a little and then a lot. He writes, "Food is about relationships that join us to the earth, fellow creatures, loved ones, and guests, and ultimately God. When our eating is mindful, we celebrate the goodness of fields, gardens, forests, watersheds, and the skill of those who can nurture seed and animal life into delicious food. We acknowledge and honor God as the giver of every good and perfect gift." Eating, he writes, is among the most intimate and pleasing ways possible for us to enter into the memberships of creation and find there the God who daily blesses and feeds life. So I wonder if your morning muesli or your cup of coffee or your slice of toast with marmalade just took on a whole new and enlarged taste experience. What if we brought to our eating the kind of mindfulness that Norman speaks of, that would allow us to see and appreciate this whole world that is brought to our table? What if we allowed ourselves to recognize the life and the lives that are all part of what we put into our mouths? What more might we be tasting, savoring? How much more satisfied might we be having taken the time, because it does take time, to notice not only the flavors, but the soil, the microbes, the sun's rays and rain, the ones who sowed, the ones who harvested, those who brought it to market, and on and on and on it goes. The lives that are represented in some way. And it's even more than that, isn't it? There's this affirmation at the heart of our faith that all that springs forth from the earth, from the sea, is of God's giving, of God's self, brought into being for the sake of life, the flourishing, the nurturing, the generating, the delighting of life. Such that to eat is to see and smell, touch and taste God's provisioning care. Such that through eating we participate and we receive into our being the self-giving life and love of God. Marinate in that for a minute, or with every mouthful. We can never only bite into one thing. That's the understatement of the day, isn't it? What Norman is inviting us to appreciate is that food isn't simply fuel, but sacrament. A visible expression that points to an invisible reality. And a means of grace by which we may grow and be transformed into the fullness of our God-given humanity. Food, not just as fuel, but as sacrament. Let's go there for a moment. One of the ways we can get there, Norman suggests, is by saying grace, which he advises is not really so easy. Granted, we can rattle off words that have become so familiar we could say them in our sleep. But what if saying grace was uttered from this place of fully awake and aware, or at least as awake and as aware as we can possibly be? At the heart of saying grace is the expression of thanksgiving. But offering genuine thanks requires that we know what we are thankful for, which means having devoted some time and effort to recognizing this great web of life that is feeding us. Where do the ingredients come from? Were the laborers honored for their work? Is the food grown and distributed in a way that reflects God's desire that all be fed? Is the land cultivated in a way that will remain productive for future generations? Were the animals respected and treated with care? When we offer our thanks, we acknowledge our dependence, our reliance on others, on the soil, animals, vegetation. Our dependence on all of these for our life and our thriving. And so we admit our need for humility and responsibility and celebration. Grateful people understand that they cannot be thankful for others if they are at the same time knowingly engaged in their destruction, Norman reminds us. The thankful word that lifts up and carries the world also cares for what it carries. In other words, when we say grace, we don't merely say a few words over our food. Rather, we open ourselves to being transformed as we allow ourselves to connect with the sanctity of all life. No wonder Norman advises us that saying grace isn't so easy. Genuinely giving thanks is an act of solidarity with creation. It is also, at the heart of it, an act of connecting, of communion with the Creator from whom all blessings flow. The blessing of life itself, the blessing of forgiveness and healing, the blessing of unconditional love, the blessing of the unending outpouring of wisdom and renewing energy and inspiration, the blessing of empowering companionship, the blessing of all that nurtures body and soul. It is all of this that we remember in our celebration of communion. That's what that prayer of great thanksgiving, as we call it, is all about. It's our grace before the meal. We take the time to give thanks before we eat, remembering the outpouring of God's care and provision, God's steadfast love and creativity. We remember God's remembering of us and refusal to abandon us. And so by the time we come to putting this bread and juice in our mouths, there is far more here than meets the eye. We are taking into ourselves God's self-giving love, this transforming presence, that we ourselves may become gifts of nurture and healing. We can never only bite into one thing. Whether we are at this table or our kitchen table, whether we're biting into an apple or a lovingly prepared meal. And it's this practice of saying grace that can help us to see and appreciate the more that is already there. Not only do we come to see our food not just as fuel but as sacrament, we come to see ourselves not as filling stations but as beloved creatures sustained by and through and for our relationships with this wondrous creation that is pulsing with God's creating and renewing energy. It's a powerful thing, this practice of saying grace. The way it takes us, like every spiritual practice, deeper into the world and deeper into the heart of God. The way it propels us into a way of being in the world in a way that would advance justice for all people, that promotes care for the earth, the preservation of species of plants and animals, the way it draws us into sharing in God's work of redeeming and sustaining this world God so loves. What if we brought to our eating the kind of mindfulness that would allow us to see and appreciate this whole world that is brought to our table? What if we allowed ourselves to recognize the life and the lives that are all part of what we put into our mouths? What more might we be tasting and savoring?